Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, boys and girls, welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. So great, we got so much Star Wars news to talk about from Celebration. We had to bring in an extra guy. But first of all, let's get the regulars out of the way. Justin, Randy, how you doing? Justin, first.
Fabulous, thank you.
Excellent.
Oh, I like the excellent. And making his triumphant return from 2 weeks ago, we got Felix. How you doing, Felix?
Pretty good.
I'm feeling I'm in a different excitement level than you, Felix. We brought Felix back because he is a huge Super Star Wars nerd and embraces it like Randy and I. Justin's an in-the-closet nerd, and he always feels weird about being geeky, but he's super geeky just like us. But the rest of us are out and proud.
Geek and proud.
Geek and proud. So I guess we'll just jump into the mayhem that was Star Wars Celebration. 4 days of amazing Star Wars news. And I guess we'll start at the beginning. They kicked it off with the 40th anniversary panel, where everyone was hoping that George Lucas would make an appearance. I thought he would show up for a couple minutes. I didn't think he'd stick around for the entire panel. Randy, I know you watched it. What were some of the highlights for you for the 40th anniversary panel?
Well, a lot of the stories that Lucas told about the making of the films, that kind of thing, were ones that we had heard before, but I think some of the highlights for me was hearing some little tidbits and insights that I hadn't heard in previous interviews. Now, granted, there was very few and far between, but there were some there. I wasn't expecting to see Harrison Ford show up. I guess that was his first celebration, so that's exciting. It was just really neat seeing who was left reunited. You know, Hayden Christensen, he looked like he was stoked to be there. Like, holy shit, some recognition that isn't just people shitting on him on the internet, that kind of thing, you know? I think he was, like, genuinely, like, gleeful to be there. And I sat there, my
eyes...
And
the fans really gave him love, too. That was...
Oh, for sure.
See how much love there was for not only Hayden Christensen, he came out with Ian McDiarmid, and, like, both of them just got, like, this, like, wave of, like, we love you!
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're coming to that age, man, where people grew up with the prequels, and they really do love those movies more so than we ever could, because we were spoiled by having the good ones come out first. But I think there's only going to be more and more love for him as time goes on. And luckily, you and I, David, happen to find ourselves in the camp where we actually really enjoy Revenge of the Sith, so... And I like Hayden Christensen as an actor. I'd watch anything he's in. I don't care. Except for that one shitty movie with Nick Cage. I'd make you guys watch it and talk about it on a podcast, but I wouldn't watch it myself. I'm kidding.
Hey, wait a minute. That's like a dig on me.
That was a thinly veiled dig on David. I had to. I couldn't resist. I had to find some weird, obscure way to bring up Nick Cage. And for that, to all of our listeners, I apologize.
It's all right. Did you watch the live stream or replay of the event, Justin?
I did.
What did you think about, before you talk, the just thunderous ovation that George Lucas got coming back to Star Wars?
It was pretty cool. It was nice. And then I like how Warwick Davis was like, is that what it's always like when you enter a room? It's kind of funny. What really made me laugh, though, and it never even occurred to me, but when George Lucas says... you know, I made these movies for 12-year-olds. That's when you kind of remember, well, maybe that's why these prequels are so cheesy, is because it's for kids. But it does bring out the kid in all of us, of course. But it's just funny to hear that. The guy that created it made it for kids. And we take
it
so
seriously.
And he was
like, I'm not supposed to say this.
Right? So funny. It's good shit.
Yeah, no, I thought it was funny in the... Yeah, Kevin Smith said it best, I think, when the prequels came out, that, you know, there was no way the prequels were going to be as good as the original trilogy for him because he was a kid when they came out. And, you know, it holds water. And apparently this next generation must love the prequels because all the prequel, like, you know, Harrison Ford came out to a decent ovation, but I would say Hayden Christensen got a better ovation than Harrison Ford. And it could have been that it was an hour earlier and the crowd was still all hyped that fucking George Lucas was there. What about you, Felix? What did you think of the 40th anniversary panel?
It was great. it was good seeing Harrison, and definitely, you know, Randy mentioned those the kids that grew up with the prequels, and I like to sort of classify myself a little bit in that audience. So it was really great just seeing Hayden and Ian show up and the warm welcome they got from the fans there.
Yeah, it's cool too that Mark Hamill's kind of reached this point where he's like, dude, I'm Luke Skywalker, I can do whatever I want. You guys, you mean you're not gonna kill me off or anything like that? To where we'll talk about him maybe later on in the Last Jedi panel, but it was cool to see him being very candid and you know, very very non-evasive like the rest of everybody else. I mean, he didn't give away a lot, but you know, he kind of helped out a little bit. But yeah, I thought that was a tremendous way to kick off the proceedings. We didn't get any trailer. We did get a really heartfelt memoriam for Carrie Fisher. I think a lot of people were hoping that maybe we would have got the Last Jedi preview then, but of course they made us wait the next day to the Last Jedi panel, which was hosted by Josh Gad. And I thought he did a pretty good job of asking the hard questions, like when he asked Daisy Ridley, "Are you a Kenobi?" what did you think of the panel or the trailer? I guess we'll do the panel first, and then we'll get to the trailer at the end, Justin.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, everyone, it's weird because it's one of those things where I think Celebration separates itself from something like Comic-Con, because you're there, everyone there is strictly there for Star Wars, and so just the energy is amazing. You can see that everyone that's on the stage is just smiling and happy to be there, whereas with Comic-Con, everyone's like, well, I guess I gotta do this, it's in my contract or something. It's kind of funny how that reflects on stage. Like, everyone was genuinely excited to be there, and I as a fan, I appreciate that sort of thing.
Yeah. What about you, Felix? Was there any highlights from the panel? Was it the 4 minutes they spent with BB-8 and Josh Gad?
No, Josh Gad did a great job too, asking the questions there, and I thought it was interesting that, you know, they placed a good amount of emphasis on that new character Rose, who's portrayed by Kelly Marie Tran. So I'm curious, very curious as to how her character might come into play in the new movie.
And everyone there seemed to genuinely love this actress. Like, none of them could say a bad thing about her. Like, even Mark Hamill came out, was all gushing about her and hugging her and saying how great she was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think maybe she'll be one of the ones that you could relate to in a way where she's just caught in a situation, wrong place at the right time, and then decides to fight for what she believes in, kind of thing, is how that's probably going to play out.
She's just a mechanic trying to fix a ship and then gets caught up in a world with space wizards and laser swords.
Yeah, just like Luke was. What about you, Randy? How did you like the panel? And I guess, and to extend on that, what did you think of Rian Johnson? Is, you know, really the only, you know, he's only the, what, sixth person to direct a Star Wars movie? And he seemed pretty happy to be there.
Yeah, he. Well, considering what they said that what Kathleen Kennedy had said, that he was out until like 3 or 4 the night before, meeting and greeting people online, waiting for the panel the next morning, and signing autographs for them and stuff. I think he. It's always one of those things that we as fanboys say, you know, ride this wave while you can, because it's not going to last. Or they probably even say it to themselves within the industry, but it really seems as if he's taken that to heart, and he really is enjoying this moment in the sun with his Star Wars movie. Whether or not he'll ever do another one, I don't know, but I think he's really enjoying this one. But yeah, it just seems like everyone had such a genuine smile on their face, and they were really so happy to be there. And I did like the part with BB-8 coming out, because I always love anything with BB-8. No, it was wonderful. And I know we're not talking about the trailer yet, so what I will talk about is the teaser poster. I thought was pretty badass.
Yeah.
That calls in some questions. Is it cool if I talk about that now, or did you want to?
Yeah, if you want to get into symbolism of the lightsaber and all that, I'm down.
All right, so we see Rey at the bottom holding a lightsaber aloft, very much like we saw early iconic imagery of Luke in like the Hildebrandt version of the A New Hope poster, holding the lightsaber straight upwards. But on this time, on either side of the blade, bathed in red light, you see Luke's face on one side and Kylo Ren's face on the other, and they're all red and potentially evil. And And that calls into question, you know, really, what is going on with Luke? I don't know. I thought it was a beautiful poster.
Yeah, no, I liked it a lot too. I guess we can jump right into the trailer since the symbolism kind of carries over. This does not look like a happy movie. It's going to get pretty dark pretty quick. So I guess we'll start with you this time, Randy. What were your first reaction to seeing the trailer, and then after further viewings, because my opinion shifted pretty drastically.
All right. Well, my very first reaction was they didn't tell us a goddamn thing, and I was just like kind of stupefied. But then, of course, I went through it like frame by frame, and I didn't listen to it with headphones on, so I guess there's some stuff with voices that I haven't really heard yet. I've only watched the trailer, believe it or not, a few times because I was at work when it came out, and I haven't really had time to sit and try to attack it again. But some of the imagery is fantastic. I really dig those. I guess they're mining ships that have like a little, imagine like a needle from a record player dragging down behind it, and it's kicking up that red dust on that desert planet where it looks like they're heading out towards a bunch of AT-ATs to go fight. I thought that was a really stunning shot. I mean, it's beautiful looking. The whole thing is just freaking beautiful looking. But it does look terrifying. It looks like whatever Rey is going through with Luke, whether it's some kind of training or what have you, it looks like whatever it is genuinely terrifying and not a good time. She's not having fun. She looks exhausted, and she looks just angry and scared, and I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I guess real quick, we'll go back to one of the things in the 40th anniversary panel that I liked is they had like the people who were like sending in messages, and Samuel L. Jackson's message was, "You guys all know that it's not unheard of Jedi to survive a fall from a great distance and keep on going." I thought that was funny. Justin, what do you think of the trailer? And did you hear the secret dialogue that was when Rey was talking about, you know, the light and the dark and that balance? Did you hear what was going on in those parts?
I didn't, but I guess I'm just a deaf bastard. I was listening.
Loud.
I was listening to the trailer with my sweet ass 7.1 channel headphones, but I didn't hear anything.
I guess you need 7.2, I guess.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the trailer then?
It's all right. I mean, I like Randy. For the first time I saw it, I was like, "Well, that told me absolutely nothing." But that's okay. The one thing that kind of frustrated me in the end was what appears to be Luke saying, "You know, it's time for the Jedi to end." I'm assuming it's Luke that says that. I can't imagine it would be another person, but the tone in his voice does change. I re-listened to that part 1,000 times with my headphones on, and it's almost sounds like they cut two different sound bites together, but just to kind of play tricks on us. Like, maybe he's having that conversation, but maybe not necessarily the way that the trailer presents it. And that at least gives me a little bit of hope, because we've had this conversation 1,000 times that we want our Luke to be a hero and not some emo Spider-Man 3 Luke and be all upset and silly. So, I don't know. That was my only negative, was that line. Like, I don't know what to expect or say from something like that.
Right. And you couple that with what Daisy Ridley said during the panel where she said, "Don't meet your heroes."
Yeah. Yeah. It's like buzzkill. Yeah. They're like, you know, you think they're all cool, but then when you meet them, they're just, you know, a bunch of fat fucks.
Yeah. I think that's really on the movie. I'm hoping he'll change his tune, but you never know with these new movies. Do you think, since this one was very much Luke and Rey centric, do you think there's a chance that, you know, maybe D23, or that's kind of far off, or sometime in the relatively near future, maybe even before Comic-Con, we get a dark side version of this where it's like Snoke with Kylo? Or do you think that they're saving that kind of stuff?
I hope they save it. I want Snoke to be a mystery, at least in the trailers. And I think Kylo Ren would his scenes are obviously going to be very heated and emotional, and it would have more impact on us as a movie-going audience if we didn't see it in a trailer 1,000 times. That makes sense?
Yeah, 100%. Star Wars is in the unique scenario to where they don't have to sell the film. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone is already going to see this film.
Right.
They can really not gain too many more eyeballs on this film by showing stuff. So, you know, less is more.
Right. I think it would be cool if we saw more, like, space battles and stuff in the trailer, just to kind of get us excited, as opposed to seeing more of the dark side.
Yeah. Well, Felix, what did you think of the trailer? And to kind of piggyback off what Justin just said, it did look like we were getting a bigger galaxy than we saw in The Force Awakens. You know, we did see, you know, what looked like some pretty good ship-to-ship battles and stuff like that. Do you think this is going to expand the world up a little bit?
I hope so. I really do. I mean, it might be too early to say, but from what I've seen so far, definitely, it seems like they are, you know, straying away from that kind of, you know, familiar, you know, structure and going for something on its own. But I like Justin and Randy, the overall trailer was very, you know, simplistic. There really wasn't too much to glean from it, and again, you kind of have to take it all with a little bit of a grain of salt, just like just in comparison to like maybe what Rogue One initially showed in its trailers too. So you know, it might very well be that none of this even makes it into the movie. Right,
it's all new movie. I mean, we are 8 months out. I mean, this was very much a teaser trailer, you know. It wasn't the story trailer we'll get a couple months from now. And yeah, I mean, it was fine. You know, the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, well, I wish I would have had just a tiny bit more. But the more I watched it, the more, you know, when we did our frame by frame, you know, I saw that there was a lot more going on than was on the surface. And I like what Rian Johnson was saying in the panel, that the universe is, the galaxy is basically in chaos. You know, the First Order took out the reigning government of the galaxy in one fell swoop and now is going to capitalize on what they did. So it sounds like the First Order will very much be on the offensive in this film. And this definitely appears to be the Empire Strikes Back of this franchise, or this this trilogy, which would be awesome because that's a good movie. I've heard. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
But we did get a little bit of sad news. You know, just like last week or so, we'd finally heard that they were going to reuse Carrie Fisher scenes shot from 7 and 8 in episode 9. And then the Hollywood Reporter on Saturday went and pissed in all of our cornflakes and said, no, Carrie Fisher is not going to be in episode 9. Now, they said Carrie Fisher. They didn't say Leia. Justin, am I reading too much into this?
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say now that we have the technology to just put somebody in a movie even after they've been dead for 2 decades or more. So it's possible that you might be onto something with having Leia in the movie, whether it be... I can't imagine any world where they would recast, but it could as well be a digital recreation of her. But we did mention that there's no real nice way to do a send-off without doing a digitized version of her in the movie. So,
right. What about that? What about you, Felix? Would you be happy with the digital recreation? I mean, Lucasfilm sent out that press release kind of saying that, but I mean, they could always go back on that and say, like, hey, we needed it. Would you be down with a digital recreation, or do you just think that no Carrie Fisher in episode 9 means no Princess Leia or no General Organa in episode 9?
I mean, I'd be, like I said, when we discussed this originally, after the announcement of her death. I would be fine with either a digital or you know, a recasting. I just feel like the character is just, it's important to the story and to just completely, because they said they weren't modifying 8 to account for it. They're going to either, you know, write it into 9 or, you know, do something in 9 to address it, obviously. But I still am leaning towards the whole notion of we need to see Leia in 9 in one way or another.
Yeah, it's impossible to just exclude her from the conclusion of this saga.
Right. She needs to be reunited with her brother, and she needs to confront her son for killing Han Solo.
Right.
These two things need to happen for this trilogy to have, you know, an impactful conclusion.
Absolutely.
Like, this isn't like Admiral Akbar dying and like, oh, someone else is going to take over the ship. I love Akbar, but, you know, if, heaven forbid, you know, Akbar were actually a person who was iconic, you know, he passed away, they could ride around it. This is Leia Organa. You know, you can't ride around that. Randy, you were going to say something before I interrupted you.
Well, I was, and I've already forgotten what it was.
It was probably about Carrie Fisher and it recasting was. And digitally recreating it and a tinfoil hat.
Well, you know, in this, I will say this, in this age of misdirections and constantly trying to keep us on our toes and not knowing exactly what's going on so that there can be some air of mystery about these movies when we finally do walk into the theater to see it, maybe it was always planned for her to die in episode 8, and maybe that's what we'll see. And, of you know, they did say, well, she didn't shoot any episode 9 footage yet, and we did have a big part for her, but that could all be misdirection.
Oh, like what if she gets wounded in battle and dies, but they just can't tell us that?
Or if the fate is left uncertain at the end, you know, she could be on a planet that gets blown up, or a ship that gets blown up, or, you know, on any, there's any number of things that where she could be that could be blown up, if we're really kind of raising the stakes in this First Order run universe, right?
She could fly right through a supernova.
Randy Van Dyke, I hate everything you were saying.
I know, and I hate it too, but here's the alternate plan, because I know they have said in the past that they wouldn't digitally recreate her, but there are workarounds. They could take existing footage of her and maybe just rework the mouth, you know? So they're not completely digitally recreating her, and then they could have somebody who sounds a lot like her do dialogue, you know? Or there could be some big, deep, wonderful, heartfelt hologram image. Think like when you saw Galen Erso's message in Rogue One, how kind of touching that hologram was. Well, if you were to bring Leia back as a hologram, you are still kind of digitally recreating Carrie Fisher and Leia Organa. However, at the same time, you're not faithfully recreating them to look completely, recreating her to look completely photoreal human. Maybe that's kind of like a weird workaround, but there's got to be a way that we can give her some sort of satisfactory send-off. And that's something that I think we can all agree on across the board. This is what we've been talking about ever since the tragic news of her death. As long as there is some satisfying send-off for that character, I think we'll all be okay. If that means recasting, I'm still, as weird a taste as it would leave in my mouth, I would be okay with that, especially if they have more plans for that character in future movies. Which could be a thing, because they're talking about another saga trilogy.
Yeah, it's definitely tricky. You know, we'll talk about Fast and the Furious 8 in a sec, or Fate of the Furious in a little bit, and how Paul Walker's absence was definitely felt. I think that, I guess it goes under the premise of, do you think Kylo Ren is redeemable? You know, he did kill Han Solo, and that's a pretty big check in the no category for me. But if you think he can have a redemption story, do you think this trilogy that we're seeing, you know, Force Awakens got a lot of shit for being a shot-for-shot remake almost of A New Hope. If we're leading towards a Kylo Ren redemption story, is that too close to Vader? And just because if we are building towards a redemption story, Snoke killing his mother would be a pretty big motivator, or could be a pretty big motivator. So what do you think of the idea, Felix, of is Kylo Ren redeemable for, I mean, considering all of the atrocities he did?
I think redemption, at least thus far in, you know, the past six films, has been a key theme. And I think people can be redeemable, but if they want to differentiate this sequel trilogy, they're going to have to add some sort of twist. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to figure out what that is, but it could go either way.
Right. Justin, would you see a scenario where Kylo Ren could be redeemed and people not just shit all over it, as didn't we already do this in 1983?
I don't see how they could make it to where it wasn't like Return of the Jedi. And I personally, I don't want to see him be redeemed in any way. I want him to go down like a sweet muffin.
I think it would be kind of fun if he went the route of Jason Solo, and this entire thing is he went down the dark path to become the big bad just to try to unify somebody. You know, I don't know what he's unifying them against, but it would be cool if we saw some sort of reveal like that, where this whole thing has just been a deception to act as a human shield, to kind of sacrifice himself. That would be really the only.
I love you more than anything for bringing up Jason Solo.
Even though you hated me after my last comment,
I'm gonna have to like forgive you for that. I mean, anyone who brings up Darth Cadius, Jason Solo is good in my book, Randy. So what you're saying would make me very happy in the pants if that's
that would be fantastic. With Rey
bisecting him like Jaina Solo did.
Oh man, but I think that would be the only way that you could kind of, in a way, redeem him. And not have it feel like a rehash.
Yeah, that would be a hard sell. Because
it would have to be like he had to do it in order to, he truly believed the Jedi were corrupt, and or he knew that there's darkness in Luke if Luke goes to the dark side or something like that. There has to be something.
Yeah, but then that's just Anakin.
Yeah,
from my point of view, the Jedi are evil.
No, it's true. You're absolutely right. There's got to be some sort of twist in there, and people who get paid way more than I do, and who are way more creative than I am, are hopefully the ones making the decisions behind all of that.
I was gonna throw in this crazy idea because some of your comments kind of inspired it, but back in like the old canon, there was the few comic books that were, I think it's the Infinity,
mm-hmm.
Infinities comic books that would pose some sort of event in each of the original trilogy movies where it just alternated off to a different timeline or a different outcome.
Right, like in New Hope, Luke misses.
Right, and somehow, can't remember if it was that one, but in one of them, Vader actually is alive, and he actually puts on white armor.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that'd be kind of interesting in the sense that what if Kylo is redeemed earlier than, say, the last third of the trilogy, and there's an entire, you know, movie's worth of time for him to be working against Snoke, I guess.
I love everything you're saying as well, Phoenix. Like the idea of like Kylo Ren and like Rey just like hating each other but having to work with each other. Like I don't see any scenario where like she would forgive him for what he has done, but it would make this great dichotomy of like they need him because he knows how to get to Snoke, or he can get them into Snoke space or something like that. So they have to work with the murderer of Han Solo and this traitor of the galaxy. And the whole time, it's almost like a Loki Thor scenario. Like, is he gonna fuck him over, or is he really there? And then at the end, you know, his way of redeeming himself is like sacrificing himself or something like that. But you're a smart man. I like what I'm hearing. I think you and Randy should go get jobs at Lucasfilm and tell them these ideas.
I like it.
Do you have any crazy theories, Dre, Justin?
Yeah, I want Rey to go batshit crazy and Luke have to put her down.
Like old Yeller style?
Mm-hmm. She's rabid, and she just doesn't know what to do with this power. It's too much. She can't handle it. Luke's got to put her down. She's foaming. Foaming at the mouth.
Like Cujo.
Yep.
Luke's just trapped in like a space car for like the whole movie.
He's just banging his head against the wall like, I'm just the worst teacher ever. Can't do it.
You did it again, Skywalker.
I just wanted to go into town and get some fucking shit from power converters.
All I wanted to do was go to Tosche Station. That's all I wanted to do.
Swear to God, can't do it.
That's a popular like video thing they've been doing lately with like Star Wars. It's like something happens and like it goes the other way, and so the movie just like ends and it goes to like, credits, and like it'd be funny. It's like, I was going to go to Tosche Station. Like, you have this, like, little animated thing if you go to Tosche Station, and it's, like, credits. The universe fixed itself. All right, well, moving right along. Randy, I know, is a huge Rebels guy, and I want to be a huge Rebels guy, and will be shortly. We got a little clip for Rebels Season 4, and I was excited because it showed Grand Admiral Thrawn is still doing his thing in the Rebels universe. Randy, what did you think of the little sneak peek we got of Season 4, and did you watch the Rebels panel?
I watched part of the Rebels panel, but unfortunately I didn't get a chance to see all of it. The trailer for Season 4 looks pretty fun. Now, they say that's going to be the last season, so this really should kind of end right around the beginning, or right around the era of Rogue One, if all goes according to their plan. Now, something kind of exciting that I've been hoping is this has been leading up to for a while is Captain Rex is going to have a new outfit in Season 4. He's going to be wearing the camouflage and distinctive Rebel Trooper helmet that we saw him in Return of the Jedi. And yes, you heard me correctly. It was revealed on stage by Mr. Dave Filoni himself that the old white-haired with a big old beard Rebel Trooper you see on Endor in Return of the Jedi is none other than Captain Rex. So he's still alive and kicking at the time of Return of the Jedi, so that's pretty badass. But yeah, we're actually going to see him in an outfit very similar to that in Season 4 of Rebels. We get to see, I don't remember his name, but his coded name is Fulcrum, Kallus, the Imperial officer who ends up being the guy on the inside with the Rebels. Spoiler alert, sorry, Dave.
fuck!
But you get to see him looking like a Rebel now out of his Imperial outfit. He actually kind of looks like Kyle Katarn in a way. If you guys may remember that character from Shadows of the Empire, that would be really cool if they were somehow to link him and bring him into the canon that way. It would be weird, but Dark Forces? Well, yeah. Yes, you're right. Yeah. Dark Forces. And
Jedi Outcast,
all those ones, yeah. I was thinking Dash Rendar. That was Shadows of the Empire. But yeah, the video games did Kyle Katarn. thank you for sparing me for
I didn't want the hate mail.
I know, the hate mail would have been obnoxious.
Yeah,
but anyway,
like it butts right up to Rogue One, because we got General Draven was in the trailer, and the guy from Rogue One. And do you think this season ends with them going off to Scarif and it not having a happy ending?
That would be amazing. I would love to see that. The big question is, okay, so we're supposed to see more of Ahsoka in this season, so that kind of gives a little bit of clarification, because people weren't sure of her fate after the last episode of last season, where she was with Maul and Vader and all sorts of Sith action was going on. So that's kind of cool. So more directly to answer your question, though, if it does end in the lead up to the Battle of Scarif, who is still around? Does the entire crew survive? Who is there? Because I have to imagine we haven't lost like any main characters.
Right, of which there are two Jedi.
Yeah.
And who don't appear in the original trilogy.
Who don't appear in the original
and
trilogy.
And Ahsoka, who's not part of the crew, but you know she plays a prominent role.
Right.
I mean, these three people, I mean, they can't get too much farther into the continuity, can they?
Or they have to establish, hey, I'm going to pull Yoda and go hang out on some planet out of the way somewhere for the next, you know, until Lucasfilm needs to pull me out and dust me off and stick me in something, you know, which very well may be if they don't want to kill off their characters. But I have to imagine somebody's got to die.
Yeah, well, I mean, based on that, Justin, is that just a missed opportunity for drama, knowing that you have these three characters that people love that are completely expendable because, you know, it story-wise doesn't make sense for them to just be chilling out in a swamp somewhere?
Well, the thing is, though, if you keep them alive, then they can have comic books and other animated series and what have yous. I mean, sure, I'd love for them to all just die, but...
Monster.
It ends their story when more money is there to be made. Mouse wants to keep the lights on, you understand?
No, they're struggling. I mean, Beauty and the Beast just passed $1 billion worldwide.
I know.
They need that. They need more of that money. Felix, do you watch Rebels? Are you a big Rebels guy?
I do. I'm actually all caught up with it.
Without ruining the entire show like Randy just did for everybody, like me. What?
You're never gonna watch it.
I'm just kidding, Randy. I've watched enough episodes to where I'm pretty up to date and stuff like that. Like I watched like the Twin Sons episode, so I mean I know Maul's fate and shit like that. But what do you think? You know, the trailer definitely had an "this is the last season" vibe. Do you think that it kind of like how the Clone Wars went to Rebels? Do you think maybe this just morphs into something else, or do you think, you know, they're going to finish the story of the Ghost and its crew?
I think it's going to lead to something else. And the good thing about, and I think Dave kind of talked about this during the panel, is that, you know, he essentially gets to end Rebel, at least this story of Rebels, on his terms. Like, the cancellation of Clone Wars was a heartbreak for me, personally. But... you know, it made me hesitant about Rebels, but after watching Rebels and seeing, you know, a lot of those threads that weren't finished in the Clone Wars carry over into Rebels, I'm not as concerned about the futures of all of these characters, because there will always be other things that they can show up into. And, it, you know, it's been proven with, you know, characters like Rex and Ahsoka. So, you know, in terms of Kanan and Ezra, you know, I don't think when Rebels ends, their story ends there. And as much as, you know, the explanation of them not showing up in the original trilogy, there easily could be another animated series that takes place during the original trilogy and talking about, you know, maybe certain missions that the Rebellion's doing outside of the stuff that goes on in the
Black Ops missions.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
But I thought it was interesting that Dave also did note that this final season would be less... it would be more serialized? Less. Like, it wouldn't be, you know, like a one-off... story about maybe like Chopper, and then hop back to like a very plot driven episode. There will actually be an arc from episode one all the way to the final episode that will lead throughout the fourth season.
All right. Well, okay. Well, so Randy, we'll circle back just to finish this up with, if we have these three trained Jedis, does it cheapen or lessen the impact of Luke Skywalker and his importance within the Rebel Alliance? That couldn't they have just you? I mean, Kanan's, you know, an actual Jedi. He's not, you know, he's not some farm boy who just got his daddy's lightsaber. You know, Ezra was, you know, Ezra's been learning from some pretty high ranking Sith guy, and then Ahsoka. You know, if she's still around, I mean, she was Anakin Skywalker's Padawan who went toe to toe with him as Darth Vader and cut half his fucking mask off. And, you know, are we getting to the point where there's just too many Jedi now for to where when we first thought there was no Jedi?
Yeah.
And these Jedi are directly linked to the Rebel Alliance. These aren't just like random Jedi in the wild. These are people who are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
Yeah. And these are Jedi in service of the Alliance for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is cheapen Luke. And, you know, Luke was the rallying call. He's the last Jedi. He's bringing it back. We're cool again. Oh, but these other guys we had too.
He was the new hope.
Yeah, exactly. Because all the Jedi were gone. But, I mean, does this cheapen that?
Yes. In a short answer, yes, I think it does. How can it not cheapen it? Unless we see all three remaining Jedi and Rebels get off this season.
I think that we're forgetting how big the galaxy is. It all focuses on a galaxy, not so much the whole universe, but this. I feel like Star Wars is definitely limited to a galaxy, and that's all they ever say is rule this galaxy together. And it takes a long time for word to get out about things. So even if the Rebel Alliance is aware that these are, you know, there are Jedi out there that are helping them, the whole rest of the galaxy isn't privy to it. So.
Well, certainly not, because 30 years later, they don't even... They think that Jedi were just myths.
Yeah.
Right. Didn't even hope exist.
Yeah, so it takes a while for word to travel. So I don't think it cheapens it, because not a lot of people would even be in the know.
Right, and I don't think Ahsoka cheapens it, because she's kind of been on the fringes, and, you know, she could very well just be a hermit somewhere, and, you know...
Yeah, she left the Jedi Order. She's not even a Jedi.
Yeah, I think that her I don't think that she cheapens Luke Skywalker, because, you know, she can be this fringe character, and I'd be totally fine. You know, there are other Jedi we know, you know, Darth Kyrat from, you know, I guess that's not canon anymore, but, you know, he was living low and on Tatooine and stuff like that, even fought with the Obi-Wan Kenobi while he was protecting Luke Skywalker. I think my big beef is Kanan and Ezra are important, integral members of the Rebel Alliance, and they're obviously Force users. I think they're the ones that, and nothing's gonna, I shouldn't say cheap on Luke Skywalker, because that's stupid, because Luke Skywalker's Luke Skywalker, but lessens the value of his importance to the cause, I guess, as a rallying.
But he destroys the Death Star. That's a big deal. He cripples the Empire.
That's an important feather in your cap. You put that on your special skills on your resume.
You do. And I think that's a big deal. And Ezra and fucking Kanan. Freddie Prinze Jr. have not.
Well, they go to Scarif. Maybe that's where it ends for him.
So,
well, I don't think it cheapens them either. Just because, Ahsoka left the Jedi Order, but she was still the rank of Padawan when she left. And then Kanan was a Padawan under Depa Bilapa, or whatever her name was, during Order 66. So, I mean, these are two characters that aren't fully trained Jedi. In some ways, they're only a fraction of a Jedi. They gathered experience from, you know, certain Jedi masters and members like that. Like, I don't want to spoil Rebels for Dave, but there is
it's fine. I pretty much know what's going on.
Okay, well, there's that character of Bendu, the kind of not Jedi, not Sith type of Force user. That actually it kind of makes me see maybe links to Episode 8 about the notion of maybe Force users that are straight down the middle, that don't lean one way or another.
Right. And there's light and there's dark, and then he says, and there's so much more or whatever. It's bigger than that or something like that. You don't have to necessarily be a left and a right. It could be you're limiting yourself when you think about it that way.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to Jason Solo. There is no light, there is no dark, there's only the Force.
There's only me.
Ooh. Yes. Okay, I love Jason Solo.
Yeah, he died.
Horribly, his sister cut him in half, nuts to neck.
Yeah, she's a real bitch.
And the last thing, his last conscious memory that he transferred to his twin sister before he died was of love and appreciation for what she was doing to, for the galaxy. You try living with that shit. Jaina did, though. She had Boba Fett armor, or at least Boba Fett bracers. I'm sure that pissed Han off. But I guess kind of sidestepping from Rebels, Randy, you were saying you were talking earlier about the new Forces of Destiny show.
Yeah, so Forces of Destiny looks to be interesting. It's going to be a very female character-centric series of short animated films, and it's going to concentrate on a lot of the females that we already know and love from all eras of the Star Wars saga. What I found to be pretty interesting is Hera, the Twi'lek pilot from Rebels, is apparently going to be on a mission on Endor fighting alongside Leia and Han. And Ewoks, so it's going to be during the time of Return of the Jedi. So we know her character survives at least into Rogue One because we hear her name getting called over the loudspeaker right around the same time that we see Chopper go by in front of us on screen. So we know some of the Rebels crew has survived, but now we know she makes it at least till Return of the Jedi with Captain Rex. So it would be actually really cool if he were in it too. You know, the old bearded soldier and her and Han and Leia. Doing something who knows what on Endor. It would have to be like a really small adventure because I feel like we saw just about everything that happened there in the actual movie, but it's pretty exciting. But yeah, it's going to be the idea of seeing other misadventures with Rey and Leia and I believe Jyn Erso and probably Padme. Like all the female characters are pulling out all the stops.
Yeah, it was weird. Padme was the only one not specifically mentioned in like the press release, but I don't remember if she was she in the little, is she in the like little graphic that has all the girls in it?
I don't remember. I'm trying to remember an image I saw of all the toys, all the dolls that they had. I thought I saw Padme, but I could be wrong.
I think it got mentioned by word, but they said that it was probably going to be voiced by Catherine Tabor, who did her in Clone Wars.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, what do you think, Felix? Do you think that, the format being, short films, when I hear that, I think like a couple minutes, not like a 22 minute like episode. Where do you see something like this airing? Do you foresee a future where we could get a Forces of Destiny like cartoon before like Star Wars movies, like kind of how like Disney does and stuff?
Potentially. I know that they talked about the current format for this being first a couple of them on YouTube and then a special airing later on Disney XD. But if it does well, I could easily see these shorts showing up later on because it's nice to have these kind of bite-sized stories in a smaller format.
Yeah, like the original Clone Wars. Those were like the little 3-minute micro episodes.
Yeah, 3 to 5 minutes. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, so I mean, we've seen that it works, and it's cool seeing a lot more representation of the female characters in the films. I mean, films and the shows and the wider universe at large.
Yeah, Kathleen Kennedy is making good on her promise. She's definitely diversifying Star Wars in a big way. Doing the Lord's work. There were video games at Celebration 2, Justin. I know you like video games, and you love Battlefront.
Oh, yeah, I love Battlefront. I will say that I'm very... We were talking about this over root beer floats last night, actually, Felix. Ooh. And I. Well, I had the root beer float. He was just watching me eat it. And it's pretty cool. I like the idea of taking on the role of an Imperial fighter. In the trailer it revealed that there was going to be a single player campaign, which the first one lacked. So that's really exciting. And it's from the point of view of an Imperial soldier. So that's super exciting. And it's a girl, for that matter. You could probably decide if you want to be a boy or a girl. Either way, it doesn't matter. But she's on Endor, and she sees the Death Star blow up. And she's like, the fuck? how many times is this going to happen, right? And then we get...
We will rebuild.
Right, we will rebuild. That's their mentality. Bunch of go-getters, those Imperials. And it'll be... It takes place between, obviously, Episode 6 and Episode 7. And we're imagining this will be the evolution to the First Order. At least it'll take us up to Jakku, where the Empire gets shut down for good.
Yeah. And it's going to be officially part of canon.
Yeah. So how about that?
Which is exciting.
I suck so bad at Battlefront. I was playing today, and I died 1,000 times. I'm like the worst player on my team, and I feel bad.
Yeah, I'm pretty... Every so often, I'll have a match where I'm just like a god, and then like the next like 20 matches, I'll be like the worst.
Oh yeah, no, I'm like Dak. I could take on the whole Empire myself, and I'm dead before I even get to do anything.
Like, coming in hot! This is Dak's time! Dak's time!
Boom, dead. Oops! Sorry.
did you like the original game? Or I guess not the original. The last Battlefront game, Felix?
I did. I really enjoyed it. I think I got pretty far in it, too.
Are you looking for part two?
I am. Obviously, with the single player, we kind of got actually teased about the story that it was going to deal with when they announced that novel that was to take place after Rogue One. About the Empire basically dealing with the defeat on Scarif and how they would actually form a special operative squad called Inferno Squadron, which was the title of the novel.
Comes out next month.
Yeah. So the character in this game, Iden Versio, actually, the origins kind of links back to that earlier Rogue One movie, because that group was formed to take out Saw Gerrera's group. Partisans, I think,
is what it's called. And they did. They took them out. Took them out big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm really happy that we're going to see a canon story deal with you know, a different point of view of the story and from the Empire's side about, you know, there is that large time span between episode 6 and 7. And while there have been novels and comics about it, there hasn't really been something like a show or a video game, you know, something visually moving that you can see and experience that story. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, canonically there is a big lack of content between 6 and 7. You have the Aftermath books, which were a mixed bag to say the best. But yeah, this will be good to fill in some of the gaps.
Yeah. And they are releasing that Inferno Squadron novel, and it's actually written by Christy Golden.
Yeah, which is kind of a bummer, but that's okay. Yeah. But I got bummed because I thought it was there were all these Imperial Commando. There were 5 Imperial Commando books. They were by Karen Travers, and like she was like all about like Mandos. And they were amazing, and they were so good. They're based off of the video game, but they obviously expanded greatly upon there. And she had a big falling out with Lucas Books, and she was supposed to continue writing the stories, and we never got it. And so when I saw Inferno Squad, I'm like, holy shit, are they finally going to do something? And then I was like, no, it's different, but I'm sure it'll be good.
One thing that's worth noting for Battlefront 2 is there will not be a season pass, which is kind of exciting.
Overall trend for Battlefront 2 seems to be listening to the criticisms of the first game and basically delivering it to the fans. And that's including, you know, space battles, all 3 saga trilogies of the saga. So prequels, original trilogy, and the sequel trilogy, at least up until 8. And then the class system, they're bringing that back, which was dearly missed from the DICE's first attempt.
Yeah, it's just random fighter. What do you want to be? What do you want to look like? It's really all that boiled down to.
A lot of emphasis on the ability to customize and progress your character specifically throughout the different matches and to customize their abilities. Not just for your character, but for your hero character that whenever you play, you know, Kylo Ren or Darth Vader, and when you're flying the spaceships, like a Jedi Starfighter or Slave One, stuff like that.
Right. So my one of my bigger beefs was that I either look like a random rebel or a stormtrooper, and I really wanted to be able to customize myself, and even just to be another race would have been so badass. And the only options were when you progressed really far in your experience level, and I didn't want to put that kind of time into the game because it was quite a grind. And if you keep losing, the experience points just aren't there, and it takes a year. And I was not a fan of that at all.
And they'd force you to play the Alliance sometimes. I'm like, I don't want to be a rebel. No. I want to be the Empire. I didn't like that.
Sorry.
I want to turn on only Empire.
Mm-hmm. It's all good.
Because they're the good. They're the hero. I like being the heroes.
I ain't no hero, babe.
Well, I mean, we got so much stuff coming out of Celebration. It's hard to believe that there are some things that I think a lot of people wanted to have brought up but weren't. Randy, was there anything that you were hoping to get out of Celebration that you didn't?
First and foremost, well, two things. What is the next standalone Star Wars story that we're going to get after Han Solo? I would have liked to have heard, hopefully, an Obi-Wan Kenobi reveal. And the second thing I wanted to know is, where is the next Celebration going to be? I'm really holding my breath, hoping it's going to be Anaheim in 2019, because they're skipping 2018. Those are the two bits that I was hoping for but didn't get.
You don't want to go back to Indiana, get White Castle, and realize that it's not all it's cracked up to be?
I wouldn't mind, but maybe
just pop a shoulder, get some hypothermia for old time's sake.
Oh man, I mean, you're talking my language, and it does sound pretty good. Just somewhere that isn't all the way across the country.
Vegas.
Vegas. Somewhere driving distance. I like where this is going. and plus you get to just the debauchery that is Vegas.
Do we have to lie to our wives and be like, oh no, it's an 8-day convention.
Yeah.
You have the pre and the post. Well, Felix, is there anything that that you felt you were missing out of this this convention?
Probably, like, again, with Randy, just what the future will bring past Han Solo, whether that's a Kenobi film or a Boba Fett film, or anything else, Darth Vader standing alone. yeah, all of that. And then, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to attend a Celebration someday, but I think that's the main thing I can think of.
Yeah, the crazy insiders are saying that the Boba Fett standalone movie's kind of morphed into like an all bounty hunter movie, which would be pretty cool. I'd be kind of in for that. Justin, you echoing that? The Kenobi? What the hell's the holdup? Ewan McGregor wants to do it. Star Wars wants to do it. Fans want them to do it. What's happening?
Yeah, it'd be fun. I could watch it. Especially if we got to see him fight Darth Maul again. Just throwing that out there. I mean, the fight that they had in Rebels was pretty awful. It wasn't even a fight. It was 8 seconds. And that made me sad. But, I don't know. I thought we'd get a tease for Han Solo movie, which we did not get. I think that would have been pretty cool. Just like
a panel. Yeah. Bring out, you know, a couple of the people, because like Randy was saying, there's not going to be a Celebration next year, so the Han Solo crew will never get the Star Wars Celebration treatment.
Yeah, it would have been neat to see a little teaser with the Falcon, and would have been kind of neat. I would have gone for that. My panties would have been wet, but whatever. It is what it is.
They weren't already sopping?
Mm-mm. Huh. I ring them out regularly.
All right. Well, yes. I mean, that was pretty much Celebration. You know, it's four day Star Wars orgy, and they definitely pulled out all the stops, and they hit animation, they hit live action. You know, they played our nostalgia feels with that 40th anniversary panel. They paid their respects to Miss Fisher, and yeah, I think they did a good job in Orlando. And can't wait till the next one, and we'll definitely be going there.
We're done.
Justin says we're done, so thanks for joining us again for another amazing episode of Geek Legacy Podcast. Let us know what your favorite thing at Celebration was. You know, tweet us at Geek Legacy. We'd love to hear from you. Lots of action going on at that at Celebration. And, you know, make sure that when you're there, you give us a follow. And like us on Facebook, and go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. And listen to their podcast. Justin does another one. It's about video games. It's great. Then we got one about comics. It's also great. You should check them out because they are paid with your good intentions. But, yeah, till next week. See you guys later.
Bye.
Thank you.